Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
2 weeks left to hop in our course at severely reduced prices. John and I are raising prices on January 1st. If you want to take us up on that offer, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/Black Friday. Or if you want to get the full course with all of the goodies and the superstore theme included, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/join. You will never see a deal like this again. So if you've been waiting to get in, now's your chance. 2 weeks left to get in. Prices are going up on January 1st.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And today we're going to answer a question that we got in our Facebook group that was just simply, what's so special about high-ticket dropshipping? Obviously, John and I go on and on and on about this, but like, I think this is a good opportunity to burn through high level. Here's the things we fucking love about high-ticket dropshipping and why, honestly, I think it might be the best business model for any beginner that has done nothing else, or maybe has only dabbled a few things. I truly think this is the best thing someone can get started with online.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what I thought when I got started, and I really haven't seen anything in the last 8 years or so that I've since I started. And there's been a lot of business models come and go, one of which you're gonna mention here in a second, I think. But there's been other things that have come and gone that have been marketed in the sort of business opportunity space, you know, like ways that you could get started in business. And they've come and gone. And yet, you know, what we do still works, right? It still works. It still works, I think, pretty much the same as it did when I started, which is a phenomenal thing. So what do you love about it? Why is it better?
Yeah, to be fair, there are other ones I like. I don't think there's anything wrong with some other business models, but I do think this is the easiest one to get started. So first off, like, all right, dropshipping gets a bad rap. If you're listening to this and the only dropshipping you've ever heard of is AliExpress dropshipping, that is not what we do, right? So AliExpress, you're shipping terrible products. You're giving a terrible customer service. It's showing up 40 days later in a heavily taped box, and it's not what the ad showed. You're doing demand generation where we're going to do demand capture. So demand generation is like you found a hot product. Now you got to run a TikTok ad and hope you can get somebody interested enough to click through and buy the product from you using some sort of fake urgency on your website, and then you turn and burn that site. That's not what we're teaching, right? So demand capture is where you sell products people are already looking for, and you simply step in front of them, you capture some of that demand, and you sell them the product. And so this is where I think high ticket dropshipping starts setting itself apart. It is right out of the gates. You don't have to create demand. There's already products on the market that people are searching for, that they are looking for, that you can simply sell on your store and put in front of them. To me, I think selling high ticket specifically is just as easy to sell. Like, do you have any thoughts on that, John?
Look, I mean, I think it's easier to sell. Like, if I'm honest, like, if you look at the ways that people sell the low ticket drop shipping type products, whether it's from AliExpress or it's just low ticket products from somewhere else, like some people say, oh, you can get low ticket products. What about directories, like local directories of products? So there's these drop shipping directories, right? Like Dropship Zone and that sort of thing, where you can get these low ticket products. I mean, it's the same answer. They're still crappy products, right? They're still going to be super competitive because anybody can just get access to those directories. But it's not easy to sell those products. If you look at the type of marketing that you have to do to sell low ticket products, so that demand generation, you're doing it on social media usually, right? So whether that's Facebook ads, Instagram, TikTok, et cetera. What a lot of the people who teach that stuff don't tell you is that that's really very difficult marketing. So a dropshipping business is primarily a marketing and a customer service-based business, right? So the problem with the lower ticket products is, one, generating profit. When you're selling a $30 product, which with dropshipping margins, you're probably only getting about, I don't know, let's be generous and say $10 gross profit off that product, right? And that's being generous once again. You have to be able to market in a way that's going to get you sales for less than $10 per sale. Now, that's tricky. I'm going to be honest. I'm not saying it's impossible. If you're an advanced level marketer, you can probably do that. At scale, it's even harder. At a small number, it's easier, but at scale, it's even harder. So if you're somebody who's just starting out, it's actually really difficult to pull that marketing off. Whereas the marketing that we do with, as Ben mentioned, demand capture, we're primarily marketing in places like search engines. So Google, primarily Google Shopping, maybe we're getting organic traffic through SEO practices. That traffic, like as Ben said, you're able to target people who are actually looking for your products in the first place. And it's generally cheaper to get that traffic, particularly in the long run it is as well. And so it's more predictable. Social media is very irregular. It's up and down in terms of how it works. So I actually think the marketing for high-ticket products is easier than for low-ticket products. That sounds counterintuitive, right? Most people will say, well, if a product's, you know, $3,000, surely it's harder to sell that than a product that's $30, $40, $50 or whatever. And I think I thought that in the beginning too. But the reality is actually that the reverse is true, and it's because of the demand capture versus demand generation thing. Now, if you had to go out and create demand for a $3,000 product that nobody had ever seen before, that had never been on the market before, from a brand that nobody knows, that actually would be difficult. But that's not what we're doing here. And so that's why it's not difficult.
Yeah, and the numbers don't add up either, right? So if you want to make $30,000 in revenue, you got to sell 1,000 of those $30 little widgets, or you can sell 10 $3,000 items. And which one's going to have less employees? Which one's going to have less damages and returns? Which one's going to have less overhead in general, right? To me, it's a no-brainer when you think about the numbers that way. It just gives you, you know, again, if we're doing the same margins you did on that $3,000 product, I have $1,000 to go acquire a customer where you have $10. The best part of this business model to me, John, is that you can start for less than $500 in 30 days or less. And so I kind of want to walk through that quickly, right? So if you were going to start a franchise, that's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars to open up a Taco Bell down the street in your local town. If you want to launch your own brand of products, which I've done myself, right? Paramount Pet Health, I launched all of these myself. You're going to need to do some research on the products. You're going to need to get samples back and forth, especially if you're doing China. You're going to have to go back and forth a few times to make sure those samples are correct. You're going to have to place a large dollar order in most cases. And then you're going to launch in hope and really hope somebody comes and buys your stuff. And then if they do, let's say it goes really, really well. Now, the first half of your order sold, and you have to take that money and go order your next order and sell off the other half and hope it gets here in time for that to sell off, just for you to sell a little bit more and take that cash and never, ever have any in your pockets. You will have a great looking business on paper, and you will be broke as a joke, even though your business has great asset value. It's a very frustrating business to be in, and I should know. I have one of those businesses where it's very frustrating. Cash flow is king here, right? And so if you're doing high ticket dropshipping, at the end of the month, your books are usually clean if everything is shipped out, and that is all cash flow for you. And again, you can get started for less than $500. And here's how. You need a domain, whether you use GoDaddy or I'm a Namecheap guy myself. It's going to cost you around $12 for a domain. You're going to need Shopify. That is $29 a month for their base level plan. You're going to need a theme, $180 to $500 nowadays. They go way up there nowadays for a theme. You don't need one. I started my first business without a paid theme, but certainly we would recommend you getting a paid theme, and we give away Superstore if you become a member of our full course because we recommend that theme so much, and we think that's, like, honestly, you should get a paid theme. $180 to $300 for that. You're going to need Google Workspace, right? So you're going to want John at johnsnewstore.com, not John's dropshipping store at gmail.com. It doesn't look very professional, so you'll need Google Workspace. That's $12. You're going to need an 800 phone number in the United States. We recommend Grasshopper. That's around $40 a month for an 800 phone number. You might want to get a little branding done, like your logo or some homepage images, things like that. That's going to cost you $25-$50 on Fiverr, somewhere around there. And then your biggest expense in dollars is Google Ads, because you have to go acquire those customers. But the beauty of just starting is Google says, please come spend money with me. In fact, I'll even donate to you to do so. So they'll run a coupon that is either spend $150, get $150, or you can find this, spend 500 to get 500. That's the biggest one. I would definitely recommend trying to find that coupon if they didn't offer it to you. And you should be able to get your first sale in that 150 plus 150 or 500 plus 500, if not more than one sale. And then you can roll those profits back into running more ads and capturing more customers and starting the snowball that is your business. Now, the biggest expense itself is not monetary at all. It's your time. You're going to have to put some effort into this. Every business takes work. You're going to have to put in that work. And so you can either spend your time or you can spend a little more money here if you want to, having someone else build your site or upload the products or optimize your pages, things like that. But make no doubt about it. There is a time investment here that needs to be made.
Yeah, 100%. That's the trade-off. And I think that's, you know, that's, I still can't believe, like, if you say you start a business for $500 or less compared to traditional businesses, which I've had some experience with, you know, the costs are like almost non-existent compared to the, you know, where you can take one of these businesses for starting at that price. It's massive. But, you know, I think one of the other big benefits for me, which I love, and I think not a lot of people realize at the start. I certainly didn't really think about it this way when I first started, and I know a lot of other people probably don't think about it. But you actually, as you go through the process of building and launching and then growing one of these businesses, you're actually learning a whole bunch of skills, transferable skills, while making money. So, you know, we talk about going and learning things at college, and people seem okay with that. Well, you're basically spending a whole bunch of money to learn stuff, and you're not making any money while you're there learning it, and you might not actually make any money off it, you know, for the rest of your life. So many people go to college and spend a heap of money on that and then never actually do the thing they learn at college anyway. So this is different, right? I mean, as we said, you're going to spend $500 to get started, but then you're going to learn things like how to run Google Ads, how to do search engine optimization, how to do website conversion rate optimization, how to build a website on Shopify, how to do copywriting. You're going to end up learning a bit of code and a whole bunch of other stuff, email marketing. Like there's a whole bunch of other stuff, and you're going to learn all of that while your business is making money. And so you're essentially, and this is the way you should think about it, you're getting paid to learn, because those skills, all of those skills I just listed out, they're transferable. So every business these days is doing something online, whether it's advertising, whether it's building a website, whether it's copywriting, they're all doing something online. So you could apply all of these skills to a different business if you want to go and do it. Like, let's say that you didn't want to do dropshipping long term, you wanted to go and try your hand at other businesses online. We've just learned a whole bunch of stuff that we'll transfer into another business online. Or people could pay you for your services, right? So you know how to run Google Ads and make sales, help people make sales using Google Ads. People will pay you to do that for them, if nothing else. I mean, you can take this in so many different ways. A good friend of ours, Isaac Smith, who you can hear on this podcast in one of our really early episodes, he took what he learned running high-ticket dropshipping businesses of his own into starting a bookkeeping service for high-ticket dropshippers. And so now other high-ticket dropshippers pay him or his business to, you know, manage their monthly bookkeeping, right? So that they can better understand their finances. Completely unexpected direction for Isaac, I think, when he first started. His thought was not that I'm going to become a bookkeeper or have a bookkeeping business. And yet that's where he landed up, and that's something he really enjoys doing. It's a good little business. So I think that's really exciting as well. Another exciting element of getting into this space and building one of these businesses.
Yeah, my friend Karina, she started in this same journey, and now she's running social media ads for my company, for a few of my friends' companies. By the way, if you're a high-ticket dropshipping store and need social media presence, let me know. I'll introduce you to Karina. There's a lot of opportunity here by taking your skills and realizing, you know, this is why I think it's a good place to start. You can start for little money, hopefully make some sales, hopefully make some profit, and also kind of discover what you want. This is a way to throw stuff at the wall and see what you do like while making money. Where else can you get that done? I'm not sure. But one of my favorite parts of building a high-ticket dropshipping business is you can kind of skip the line on understanding what products you should launch under your own brand. So if you think about the fact that you are selling into one market, you're going to really get to know your customer. You're going to understand their wants and needs. You're going to understand who they are. You're also going to understand like the different avatars that exist inside of your business. That's just going to be one person, right? It's going to be 3, 4, 5 different types of one person. And then once you get to know them, you're going to know their wants, their needs, what's missing from the marketplace. You're likely going to have a percentage of your products that's small, that is the majority of what you sell. It's usually, you know, 80-20. 20% of your products will make 80% of your sales, right? And then in that, you'll also have an 80-20 of that too. So you'll have like 3, 4, 5 products that you sell a lot of, and you're going to get a lot of feedback on those products, whether you request it or not. They're going to tell you, hey, man, I wish this product had X, or I wish this product had Y, or why doesn't it come with this feature? Why doesn't it come with this accessory? And over time, you're going to be able to start really taking copious notes from your customers of like what's missing from the marketplace. Hopefully through that, you've listened to John and I rant about SEO enough that you're ranking number one, number two, number seven for your, you know, your niche type, right? Where this product's going to fall under that. And then you can simply put your product at the top. Go make the better product because you've already gotten all the feedback. You can run a Jeff Walker launch style, which by the way is a great book, Jeff Walker launch style launch to this, where you're asking for feedback, but you've already gotten it. So you know the answers that are going to come in. And then you're going to make all your customers feel like they have all this buy-in, and you're going to drop your product on the market with a rabid audience because you have all of these customers already. So whether that is launching your own product, which is, you know, a high ticket product, or whether that is simply launching some accessories that your customers have been asking for that you can put on there and start your own direct to consumer brand that is, you know, smaller items. Either way, you have all the data now, and you're getting all that data at a profit. So I don't understand how anybody else would want to launch a brand without having that data. I think that's one of the allures of Amazon FBA, is Amazon's kind of giving you some data. You can take educated guesses. This is better than that because those customers are your customers. You're speaking to those customers directly. You're getting a lot of feedback. And so that's one of my favorite opportunities. It's something I've been able to do in a couple businesses, and I look forward to being able to do it in future businesses and helping our students be able to launch products inside of there, where then, you know, they go from 30% margin to 80% margin. 80% margin on a $5,000 product, John, sounds like a very fun time.
Sounds amazing. Yeah. And look, I just can't even think, like, the thought of, you know, being able to launch products while you're getting paid, right? Which is the complete opposite. Is if you try to bring a product to market in the beginning as your first step, yeah, you're going to try and pre-sell it probably before you've even made any. Which is going to get you some money, but it also brings with it a set of risks that if something goes wrong with the product manufacturer at that point, you've still taken a whole bunch of people's money, and you're going to have a really tough time talking to all of those people. Here, if you do that after you've started drop shipping in a market, you're building a drop shipping business, which is already providing profit. You're getting paid while you're developing that product, right? That takes a lot of pressure off to get whatever product you're bringing to market right the first time, because you don't have to pre-sell it. You don't have to, because you have a business that's already providing you some profit, which ideally is paying your bills and all of that sort of thing. And yes, you're putting a bit of money aside there to invest in developing this product, etc. The risk is a lot lower with bringing that product to market, I think, if you're already in the market. As you say, you already know your customers, you've already built a business that's generating some profit. Than just going and saying, oh, well, I'm just going to take a Hail Mary here and launch a product into a space I don't fully understand yet, even if I'm in it myself. You don't have to do all that expensive product research and testing stuff. Like, to me, that's kind of a bit of a no-brainer. Like, if your aim was ultimately you were saying, I really want to have my own brand of products, and I really, you know, that's actually what I want to do, I'd say, well, get into that space and do some drop shipping first, get some customers, learn about it, get paid, and then launch your product. I think to me that makes much more sense.
I would treat it like your opportunity to go take an unpaid internship just to learn. This is your opportunity to take a paid internship to go learn, and you're going to learn a lot of skills. You're going to learn a lot about your customer. That's what I think is so special about high-ticket drop shipping. I love this business model. There's a reason we teach it. It's not the get rich quick scheme that is out there for us to make John and I a bunch of money. Like, honestly, it changed my life. It changed John's life. I hope it changes your life. I hope if you're the one sitting on the fence right now that you decide to take action. Buy our course, don't buy our course. We don't care. Just go take action. Go do something and change yourself. And I think, honestly, high-ticket dropshipping is going to be the easiest step you can take moving forward to take your first step into entrepreneurship.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.